Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. I'm Jack Buteller.
And I'm Demi Moore. Just kidding.
Oh, Jill, you're not feeling well.
It's actually sounding better than it did yesterday. I called the office and they didn't know who I was. It was awesome. But I'm Jill DeWitt, and we are broadcasting this week from sunny Southern California, where everyone apparently is in the real estate business.
Can you believe that?
I know, it's
everywhere
so funny.
I go, no matter who I talk to, you know, up or down the chain.
Yep.
They want to talk about the real estate they own and how much money they've done.
Exactly.
Especially when they find out what we've done.
Exactly.
Or what we do for a living.
Totally. Even like, you know, the college kids, and they own the house and they rent it out to their buddies, which is brilliant, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got their foot in it, or they want to get into it, which is awesome.
There's all different types of people that live in Southern California that have done well in real estate. So, and they all handle it differently. Like, some people just do one house deal, make a couple of million bucks on accident.
Right.
And then that's it. They're done and they just kind of walk around.
Exactly.
Or surf or whatever.
Talking about being in the real estate business.
There's some people that take it real seriously like we do and just keep pounding it over and over and over again.
Isn't that funny? We can't stop. I don't know how to stop.
I know. And there's everything in between. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Entertaining real estate investment.
Gonna try.
Today, Jill and I talk about imperative market research before sending out your mailer. What the heck does that mean? Well, we'll find out. First, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the land. Ooh, new script. JackJill.com online community. It's free.
Love it. Peter T. asks, I'm trying to narrow down a profile of the average buyer in Arizona for 40 acres. I'm making an assumption that the buyers will be male, age 40 to 60, hunters, RVers, outdoor folks, etc. Why? So I can keep that in mind when targeting for Facebook and social media. Anyone have more experience here, and can this be more focused? Is it off the mark? What do you think? And I would love to get input from the group.
Yeah, so here's the thing, Peter. Social media marketing, there's nothing cheaper. So especially in the beginning, and I can tell kind of reading between the lines here in your question that you're probably kind of new to it, there's nothing cheaper. So per impression, you're going to be spending less than 1 cent. In fact, it's less than one-tenth of 1 cent very often if you do it correctly. So in the very beginning, I think it's important not to exclude anyone. What you want to do is build a click-through audience. So a year later from now, what happens is you go in and you choose an audience that you think might be interested, an audience type that you think might be interested in buying 40-acre properties, or at least knowing that it's available. And all the stuff that you think about that person is probably wrong. And I'm telling you from my experience. In the beginning, you want to collect a huge viewing audience, because later on, a year later, you'll be one of the options that you will have is, do you want to post this ad or this graphic, this click-through app graphic that sends you back to where the thing's for sale? Do you want to post it to everyone who's ever clicked through the ad in the past? And so you don't want to narrow yourself up in the front in the beginning. Here's an example. When Jill and I post a piece of property for sale, like land, I choose people who are interested in real estate, not licensed real estate agents, but just are interested real estate investors, people who are interested in HGTV, and that's a little bit tailored toward Jill and I because we have the show, and people who have clicked through my stuff already, and since the years that we've been marketing, and it sells pretty quickly in the land case. Hey, by the way, don't forget to post it on, if you're a member, and I think you are, post it on landpin.com. It's free. We sell a lot of property there.
So much traffic right now.
And we sell a lot of property there, and we're getting tremendous reports from our other members that we spend a lot of money marketing that site, so we're kind of doing it for you.
Right.
That's part of the benefit of being a member.
We've had that. You know what's so interesting? That's been a year now, Jack. When we switched over that site, it's been over a year to make it what it is today, and the traffic and the growth has been phenomenal.
Every day, I'm amazed. You know, we went in to look at why our websites were a little bit slower because we were getting so much traffic.
Yeah.
And to my massive surprise, I actually called Jill and talked to her during the workday, which never happens.
Thank goodness.
And I said, guess which site has the most traffic? And
I guessed wrong.
We all did.
Yeah.
It's Landpin.
Yep. That's awesome.
Rock bottom priced property. This is turning out to be a plug. I didn't intend that.
Exactly. Now it's going to get more traffic.
Today's topic, imperative market research before sending your mailer. What the heck does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. There's a bunch of stuff that I look at in a horsing around on the internet fashion that I look at before we choose to actually send out mail. If you listen to the show at all, Jill and I send out mail to purchase or wholesale houses, and we also send a ton of mail out for land, which is probably why you're listening. So how I review or research the very first things that I do before we actually get the stuff in the mail is pretty different based on that product type. For land, I look at how many properties are available or for sale on Landpin, Land and Farm, LandWatch, anywhere on the market. Not so much the MLS at all, but where there's inexpensive property. And then I kind of eyeball it and see if there's just tons and tons of really low-end property in that area. I kind of stay away from that. I also look at how many properties are involved in any given tax sale. And about 6 months ago, I compiled a list of the whole country. It's on landacademy.com in the resources section. It's free. And you can go see, for instance, if you're thinking about sending a mailer out in, I don't know, some county in Alaska, you can go there and find out, oh, they had a tax sale and there are only three properties at the sale. Or like in Northern, if you want to send Northern Arizona, you can find in Mojave County, you can find out there's, every tax sale usually has 40,000 properties, literally, that are back tax properties. So what you want to do is find your Zen somewhere in between those two numbers and look at those things. And you want to make sure that you can buy the property, obviously, cheaper than you're going to sell it for pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And so the more you do it, it's like fishing. You know, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yep.
I have a whole fishing analogy that I'm not going to bring up right now. Mostly because of you, Jill.
Well, thank you very much. For me, thank you. And the other 12 listeners. Thank yeah. you.
Yeah, well, now it's six.
Oh, that's right, because you brought it up.
Yep. So with houses, the very, very, very first thing I look at immediately is days on market. How long from the time that it gets posted does it get sold? And you can use, if it's more than 45 days in this market right now, we just move on to the next market. The easiest, fastest way you can do for free to do that is on Redfin. If you get on your phone, get the app, or on the computer, just go in, log in, and pick your market. Mm-hmm. And you can see right there, days on market. You just make sure you set it up for completed sales and do it that way. It's really, really easy, really fast, and it costs no money. When you do identify a market, and I'm not going to get into all the details now because it's beyond the scope of this venue, this show.
And you don't want to lose the other six.
And Jill's falling asleep.
Exactly.
Then you want to pull the data from one of the data subscriptions that hopefully you have through us as licensed providers, and you want to get the actual data to confirm what you're seeing out there. And the only way to do that is to pull the data into Excel and really review it in detail. Then confirm it. Now you're spending money on. Here's the whole point. You don't want to spend a ton of money on postage. You want to spend a little bit of money, comparatively tiny amount of money on data.
Is there any non-conventional research that you do, Jack, that's like a little special Jack tip that you and only you know how to do?
Yeah, for houses, you know what, Jill, that's a great question. It's
Thank
really,
you.
This is a good thing to bring up. For houses, the more like kind the houses are, the better result you're going to get from a pricing mailer. What that means is, like, we've all seen in these downtown areas or across the country, you know, before there was such thing as subdivisions and master plan communities, a builder would build like two houses next to each other, and then the house right next to that's completely different, and maybe it was built 10 years earlier. Mm-hmm. Those are much harder to price. I tend to stay away from those. There's a lot of markets like that in Southern California that we do really well in, but we've been doing this for a while.
Right.
If it were my first few mailers, I would stick to subdivisions where somebody went in and bought 40 acres or 100 acres or 1,000 acres sometimes in Arizona, like an Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
There's really four models to choose from, and new price per square foot.
Those are easier.
Come in, it's really easy to price. You get a lot of offers out there at once.
They're all built about the same time.
Yeah.
So, got it.
The thing about houses is that nobody does this. So you can do this anywhere. You can do it in Indiana, Maine. You can do it in Manhattan.
Right.
Any of the boroughs in Manhattan, and it works. It works really, really well. It works well everywhere.
It does.
And it works well for land. I'm not downplaying land at all. I'm just saying that. Both work really well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of success, and it's not that hard. The whole point of this show is the stuff that I do right up front, that's, you know, in front of the TV at night kind of thing, before we send a mailer out. That's the point there.
What does it mean in front of the TV?
You know, that's kind of funny because we don't have a TV.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? What like on your laptop while you're watching something?
No, yeah, what I meant was when you're not really during a real work day, when you have this thought
kind of thinking,
your head,
like, doing a little research, maybe you're on your phone or your tablet, ignoring your wife in the background, that kind of a thing.
If you're ignoring your family.
Got it. Or if you're pretending to listen to your wife in the background. This is what you do when your wife's
right
there.
This is what I mean.
Sweetheart, I'm Christmas shopping for you. Uh-huh.
And you're on Redfin.
And you're really doing that.
Days on Market.
That's it.
For like a suburb of, you know, Palos Alto.
Now I understand.
That's really what the show is about.
Now
I understand. It's not about digging. Once you identify that, then dig deep to confirm it.
This is not like in a dark room.
No.
With one light and you're like sweating at it and you locked yourself in and you won't leave until you nail it. This is like, you know, I think I'm going to look around over here. I'm going to look around over there. Got it. Okay.
One of our number three kids was in my office recently and he saw my keyboard and he said to number three, "What? Why does your dad do to his keyboard to make it look like that? It's just worn out.
Oh, yeah.
Can't see the keys anymore."
Oh, I know what he does. There's a lot of banging.
I'm not going to touch that.
I know. It's so funny.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another 30 or so minutes. Well, not even that at this point. 10 minutes listening to Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss implementing education.
And we answer your question, should you have one, posted on our online community, jackjill.com.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition. Good show, Jill.
That was good.
I feel so bad for you.
That was still kind of serious. I thank you for taking more of it because my voice and my throat. So I'm getting bad. Believe it or not, this is better. I'm feeling much better.
It's kind of sexy, quite honestly. That's really what's going on.
Oh, I love it. Hey, and if you like this, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Hey, and while you're at it, rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.